Michael Dresser Show. Candace Platter with us, the author of Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself, the top 10 survival tips for loving someone with an addiction. Loving someone with an addiction. She's the author, and she knows from personal experience what it means to be an addict. Within a year of being diagnosed with Crohn's disease in 1973, she found herself at the throes of prescription drug addiction. And the Crohn's disease diagnosis came at a time when the medical community had very limited understanding of the disease and then how to treat it. As a result, the treatment included some very addictive medications, Valium, Demerol, codeine. And then she discovered that marijuana took a lot of the physical pain away and helped her escape the feelings of powerlessness, hopelessness, and isolation. Now, more than 14 years of abusing substances, she reached bottom. 1987, and then she began her journey and back of self-discovery and recovery. Now, she graduated from the Adler School of Professional Psychology with a master's degree in counseling in 2001. And for over 20 years now, she's got a private practice, and she's been helping clients and their loved ones understand their addictive behaviors and makes life healthier for so many people now. And let us say, Candace, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. My goodness, what a journey that must have been.
Oh, yes. You know, next week I'm celebrating 27 years clean and sober, but I remember what that was like as if it was yesterday.
You know, one of the things that I have learned over the years, and I'm not a clinician, and I've interviewed so many people, you know, with different types of addictions, but one of the things that I've learned, and then stop me if I'm wrong here, but that once you're addicted, you're always addicted. But you, it's not addicted to drugs, but you take the addiction and you put it someplace else, someplace positive, someplace where, you know, it's healthy, somewhere where it can help other people. But there's always addictions. And if you're a person who has an addictive personality, you're always going to have one. But if you can realize that, you can choose your way to a greater path in life.
Well, I totally believe that. You've said it so well. I certainly hope that I've done that with my life. And I think we have to be very mindful when we're in recovery in terms of how we want to live our lives, because that's really when we're at choice.
And by the way, one of the things that I think is great that you decided to work in the addiction field, because, I've seen this so many times, you know, you can have, in the general sense of the word, you can have a tremendous amount of academic knowledge of addiction. But unless you've been there, unless you've done that, how do you empathize? How can you actually work with somebody if you haven't been there through the worst part of it?
Yep. Again, I totally agree with you. And I think that most of the clients who come to me to work with me, they know that I'm in recovery. They know that I've had my share of problems with addiction. And they read about that on my website. And I think that's what attracts a lot of people to me. And I think, you know, once they've met me and we work together, they know that I know. So I think that's a really important thing.
Just out of curiosity, I'm going to take you off subject just a hair. Making marijuana legal with what they're doing now for the, you know, the medication, medicated, whatever that is. Do you think that's a good idea? And by the way, I have no thought about that, so I'm not leading anywhere with it. I'm just asking your opinion.
Well, you know, I really understand the benefits of medical marijuana. I used it, you know, for Crohn's disease more than I used it to get high, at least in the beginning. But, you know, pot is an addictive substance. I know that for sure. Most people know that for sure. And the pot that I smoked way back when is not the same marijuana that we have today. And today's is much more dangerous. It's much more toxic. It's very damaging, especially to young people while their brains are still, you know, developing. I would like to see medical marijuana stay. I have a problem with the recreational marijuana being legal, but sometimes I feel the same way about alcohol, to be honest.
So, oh, sure.
You know, that's a legal drug, too. It's just in liquid form. So I don't know. I think there are going to be problems that we don't even, that aren't even a glint in our eye yet. You know, we're not even thinking about. So
now, by the way, when I went to high school, which was in the 50s, the marijuana just became acceptable when I was in the 11th grade. I think it was like 1959. So I heard not that it was me, but somebody told me it was three joints for a dollar in those days. But not that I would remember anything like that.
No,
of course.
And I'm a sixth kid myself, and they say that if you remember it, you weren't there. So
right. By the way, it couldn't have been me; it was somebody else. But you know, but in those days, it wasn't. They was very weak compared to what these kids have today, and drugs in and of itself weren't really the big popular thing. What we used to do, we didn't get in trouble; we got into mischief in those days. And we'd get somebody to buy us a quart of beer, and we would run around, smoke a joint, and we'd run around and pretend we were drunk, and that was the night.
Yeah. It's very different now. There are a lot of problems now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're talking 60 years ago. Did I say that?
Yeah.
And
families are dealing with these problems now. You know,
yes.
It isn't just the addicts dealing with the problems. It's the families dealing with the problems as well. So it's far-reaching.
Yeah, and by the way, when, you know, I talk about these things, but when you really come down to it, I think today's world, in what's going on today, the book in and of itself is something that people have got to read. Because when you come down to it...
Oh, thank you, yes.
Yeah, absolutely, because when you come down to it, there's so many drugs running around today, and it's getting to a point where, what was it on television that was what was it at the beach with this summer? What is it with the college kids go to the beach?
Spring break,
yes. Did you see any of those things on television? I mean, they were all loaded. I mean, it was just like, this is what we do. There were drugs, it was alcohol, and this was just an accepted way of being, and that's not right.
Right, yep. Well, I agree with you. It's a very strange society that we live in now, that where a lot of people don't want to look at the reality of their lives, and that becomes very problematic in so many different ways.
Yeah, now, Candace, I pick the book up, I read it page by page, cover to cover. What's my takeaway? What do I, Michael, get that I didn't have before I read the book? What do you want me to walk away with?
Well, you know, this book is for the loved ones of people with addiction, and it's not just alcohol and drugs. It's also other addictive behaviors like gambling, smoking, eating disorders, internet addiction, that kind of thing. So it's not just about alcohol and drugs. Of course, it is about alcohol and drugs as well. But I wrote the book for the loved one, not for the addict, and I think that's a really important thing for me to say. So what I'm trying to help the loved ones see is that there is a way to end or certainly ease the struggling and suffering that they themselves are going through, that it's not their fault that their loved ones are addicted, because the addicts make their own choices about how to live their lives, but the loved ones often have contributed to the situation. And since the only people we can change are ourselves, then when we can see the contribution that we've made to a situation like this, that's what we can change. And it's really important for loved ones to stop enabling the addicts that they love, because that is not actually a loving act toward the addict. An enabling behavior keeps the addiction going. That's not what the addict needs. The addict needs to be made to feel uncomfortable in the addiction, not to be able to get away with negative behaviors. That's just not loving for an addict. So the loved one needs to know the difference between helping behaviors, which help the addiction stop, and enabling behaviors, which keep the addiction going. And they also need to come off that roller coaster that every addict in active addiction is on and learn how to take care of their own lives, because loved ones almost always have put their own lives on the back burner and basically become addicted to the addict's addiction.
Now, by the
way,
that's
not healthy for anyone.
No.
So my book helps them to be able to come off that roller coaster, take care of themselves, role model that for the addict, start respecting themselves and set self-respecting boundaries that the addict actually needs to follow. You know, those kinds of things are what I talk about.
By the way, it's almost like becoming a caregiver, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's moving from being a caretaker to being a caregiver and to be giving care to one's own self.
Yeah.
That's so important. The loved one's self-care has usually taken quite a back seat. And that really, really needs to change. Because addicts are quite manipulative. I remember being very manipulative myself, and it usually comes from a place of fear. Addicts are very fearful of giving up their addiction. It's what they know. It's their comfort zone. And so they become manipulative. They test boundaries. They do that kind of thing. And loved ones need to know how to deal with that, because that's the way to love somebody with an addiction.
Also,
letting them get away with bad behavior is not loving.
No.
And it doesn't help the addict.
Also, to the mental stability of that person that's with the addict. I can imagine that there's been there's been suicides with people who take responsibility in such a way that they blame themselves, and there's a tremendous amount of guilt, and they can't deal with it.
Yeah, and I talk a lot about that. I talk a lot about the fact that this, as I said before, this is not their fault. Nobody chooses, addicts don't choose to become addicts. Nobody goes to Addiction 101 and says, gee, I think I'll be an addict in this life. That'll be fun, you know. And in fact, the other way around is that people who have addictive personalities, as you were talking about before, they usually say to themselves in their denial, well, it won't happen to me. You know, I can use or drink, and I'm not going to become addicted. So nobody's really trying to become addicted. But once an addict, once a person is addicted, they know they are. We know inside of ourselves when there's a problem. And when that happens, that's when the addict's choice point is. So the addict, even in active addiction, has a choice about whether they're going to stop and be in some kind of active recovery, or whether they're going to continue an active addiction. So the loved one is not responsible for that choice and cannot make that choice for the addict. You know, we can't control anybody but ourselves, but we're kind of taught in our society that we can. And so loved ones are trying desperately to change the addicts they love, and it never really works until they learn the difference between enabling and helping.
True, and when you...
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, you got me. There we go. Okay. So the microphone just decided to go get addicted. It was gone.
But air there. I wondered if you were still there.
Oh, no, I'm still here. When we really come down to it and you take a look at it, the way it happened to you, you know, medication. The other problem is peer pressure. You know, if that's the thing to do, my friends are doing it, so I'm going to do it. And there's where many problems happen, and they end up getting addicted. And by the time they realize it, it's too late. They're in the middle of it. And there's where the problem is. And parents today. Parents today are hamstrung. Their hands are tied behind them. If they get out of line and there's consequence for the kid, kid says something, you could have the police there. You could have family. So it's very tough for a family today to be able to deal with some of these things, because the kids can basically almost get away with anything that they want to get away with.
Well, I think that's probably quite accurate, and I think that that's certainly happening more and more, you know, as time goes on. Things are much more lenient for kids, and they shouldn't be. That's an enabling, it's part of our enabling society, because, you know, our society is an enabling society. We keep these problems going, and a lot of it comes down to the bottom line of money.
Sure.
You know, and what we advertise and what we want people to buy, but that's a whole nother show.
Oh, absolutely.
That being said, even with what you said, even though there's a lot of accuracy to what you've said, there are still things that parents can do differently.
Oh, absolutely.
That won't get them into trouble with the police. That won't, you know, there are things that parents can do. They're not as hamstrung as they may feel that they are. There are things they can do. And if they read my book, I think they're going to find some of those things. Loved ones see themselves on so many of the pages of my book, because these are the stories of real people.
No question.
And these are the strategies of how to deal with that.
Candace, we're just about out of time, so let me ask you this. Website where we can find you at.
It's www.candaceplatter.com. It's C-A-N-D-A-C-E. P is in Peter, L-A-T-T-O-R.
Wonderful. And by the way, Candace, if they missed it, it's up on our website, so we can always find you.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
And by the way, thank you so much for joining us. I hope more people listen to what you have to say.
Well, it's been a pleasure for me. I do, too, because there's just so much struggling and suffering that can really ease. So I hope people are listening as well. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.